Good afternoon. 12:11 p.m. Just barely afternoon on Saturday, January 21st, 2012. It was morning when I started. It's afternoon now. It was just barely morning when I finally got my shoes on and my coat on. One of the problems today, I slept in. It was 7 o'clock before I rolled out of bed. That's absurd. That's insane. It was delightfully decadent, and I don't regret it for a moment. But what that did was it pushed my morning back by a couple of 3-4 hours. It's really only in the lapse time, it's only about 8 a.m. by my internal clock, and in terms of how long I've been up since I'm usually out. Anyway, most of what I've done today is deal with course stuff. I needed to get caught up this morning to see for those people who had not yet registered their blogs. There were a few. There were about 8 or 9 when I sent out an email message Thursday, warning them that, this is a problem. So I picked up about 3 or 4. I still am only showing about, 16 students out of 23 registered. So either they've dropped and the drop hasn't percolated through the system yet, or they're just not paying attention. Either way, they're starting out with a pretty big hole, because now they've got to do the work, but they aren't going to get credit for it. If it doesn't show up today, it's a zero. And I can't make them up, but they do have to put their blog addresses up. They do have to do the reading. And since they didn't participate in the conversation, Since they didn't participate in the conversation, they don't get credit for participating in the conversation. Simple enough. So anyway, not a whole lot new on the ACX front. Evo's pushing the Buy My Book group, and I met the guys at BaltCon last year, so I know who they are, and I might well push Ravenwood over in that direction, just on GPs. The problem, of course, is that it's an issue of catalog, and the only reason I consider putting it in Audible to begin with was to get listed in their catalog, so people would find the title. Audible promotes itself as having over 100,000 titles, which is kind of interesting, because what that means is, from a reader standpoint, you've got a lot of choices. From an author standpoint, you're not likely to be noticed. So there's a kind of a limiting factor there with that that makes me go, really? Is this something that I really want to do? I don't know. I did find several places where my books are now being pirated. I think I mentioned this in the past, and somebody, I think it was Tara, left me a long comment that I've unfortunately forgotten to respond to about my position on piracy, which is, I guess I need an agent now, because according to Stephen King, you don't need an agent until your work starts being pirated. I'm sorry, he says, I think the word he uses is stolen. And I've always found that statement curious, because I thought, you know, is that a commentary? Is that one of those odd statements like, well, if your stuff is going to be stolen, you may as well hire a professional to do it right. So you need an agent to make sure that your work is being stolen properly. I don't know. It was an interesting sidelight. I did find several places that have my book, and the downloads are infested with some sort of viral payload. I didn't keep them around long enough to find out, figure out which one it is. It's probably some sort of botnet, just because that makes a certain amount of sense, that you distribute something that people want and they inadvertently install something that they don't want. I found several places where that's true. I need to double check and look to see eBook E and eBook R both show copies of my book. I filed a takedown notice with one. I didn't bother with the other. The truth of the matter is, these people are not stealing my book. They're not going to buy it anyway. Well, in a certain sense, yes, anybody who downloads it is in fact stealing the book. And in fact, they might read a book. The reality of that is that these are not people who would have bought it to begin with. I'm just totally convinced of that. It doesn't make any sense. So the other issue is that you can't really stop it. You know, I can spend a lot of time and effort and angst over, oh my God, they're stealing my work. My career is going down the dumper. When the reality is, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think whoever it was that just posted recently, and it might be Cory Doctorow, I don't know, somebody posted about SOPA, that the real anti-piracy strategy is to price your work appropriately and make it easy to buy, and then people won't have to steal it. So I think we've done that, and people will still, you know, post my work to be stolen. And I think one of them has had like 6 downloads, 7 downloads. You know, that's such a ridiculously small number as to be, yeah, I'm not even sure it was worth my time to send the admins the note that they require to file the takedown. Now, some of the sites, particularly the more virulent ones, I think, have quite extensive takedown requirements. So you have to give them quite a lot of information about yourself in order to get the books taken down. And I wonder how much of that is social engineering. You know, if they know me, my home address, how much more can they find out about me? How much more access can they get to my stuff? And, you know, there's a risk involved in just filing a takedown notice. So I don't know. I on the one hand, yeah, I suppose it's stealing. On the other hand, it's not hurting me, because the amount of stealing that's going on, the amount of siphoning off of profit is so small, it's negligible. I just don't believe that these people who are stealing the books would have bought them to begin with. They're too busy stealing books. They're too busy downloading all kinds of other stuff. One guy who uploaded my book, an illegal copy of my book, has uploaded 47,000 titles. I'm sorry. He didn't read it. He wouldn't have bought it to begin with. He only downloaded it so that he could put it up and, in theory, maybe sell it. I can't imagine anybody would pay more than the book was worth. I mean, one of the sites that I saw it on recently was a subscription site, a low monthly fee of $2.95, and you can have access to all of these stolen books. And Light in the Dark was listed there. It's like you can have your own legal copy for 99 cents. What the hell do you want? What's going on? It just, the whole issue of piracy and the whole bit is sort of backwards. It's sort of wrong. We're not thinking about it correctly. And I think the right answer is, have engaging content, make it priced affordably and reasonably, and people won't steal it. And those that do are not people who are going to buy it to begin with. It's like somebody, I don't know how to equate it. I don't really know how to grasp it. Yeah, I suppose ethically it's wrong. Morally, it's pretty reprehensible. At least the problem, of course, is that according to my morals, it's reprehensible. According to another person, someone who does not share my view of morality, it may be perfectly legal. It may be perfectly moral, even if it's not perfectly legal. I've been known to break a law or two of my own in my life, and given the opportunity, might do so again. Do I see that as a moral laxness on my part? Potentially, I suppose, but the laws I would consider breaking, I don't really think fit neatly into my morality. The shipping beer, for example, is quite illegal, but I would consider doing it. I would consider packaging up a bottle of apple cider and mailing it off to Thomas Gideon and marking it apple preserves, thereby lying on the form and shipping illegally. I might consider it. Does that make me morally reprehensible because I would consider breaking the law? I don't know. Perhaps to some. I've just alienated half of you. I don't know. But there are some things that, you know, it's like, okay, the books are being pirated. I can play whack-a-mole and spend time doing that. I can spend emotional capital fretting about it. Or I can shrug and move on. Because the reality is, for all that it is, yes, of course, stealing. And the truth is, it's not hurting me. And if it's not doing me harm, if it's not doing me harm, I have a hard time pursuing it on behalf of myself. And if self-interest won't engage me, then how much more difficult is it going to be to engage me in the interest of society as a whole, particularly since when it appears that the people who are most concerned with this are not the people who are actually creating the work, which is what copyright was intended to protect, but it's protecting the people who have purchased the work and who are profiting from that purchase to an extent that I consider quite egregious. So I don't know, an interesting question. Some interesting things to ponder. Hello, hello, I'm fine, how are you? A couple and a pair of dogs that I met on the first half of the walk. So, yeah, it's an interesting question, but, you know, am I going to go play whack-a-mole? The answer is no. No. To begin with, most of the people who steal the book, if they open the book on their computer, will find their computer has suddenly been infected. So the majority of infestations are, in fact, invasions. I feel badly for people who do that, who think they're getting a copy of the book for free and instead infect their computer. And I feel badly for the internet because then they have one more node on a botnet network. But there's millions of those already, so a half a dozen more doesn't kind of seem like it should be a great deal. So I don't know, that's an interesting idea, interesting things to think about. I wonder if that's something I should take up with my class, this notion of piracy. I wonder where it fits in the grand scheme of this rather stodgy class. The class is, it's amusing, some of the comments that I'm getting from the students. It's like, oh, you know, I used to think I was pretty technologically savvy, but you're asking me to do stuff I've never even heard of before. And others of them have heard of it, but they've never thought that perhaps some of this technology, like a podcast, might be used for educational purposes. The notion that my words might be recorded, not for the content, but for the emotional impact, for the message that comes through my words, through my voice, that doesn't necessarily get encoded on the page. Now, frankly, as a writer, I find it quite stupid to think that there is something that could be written on a page that couldn't, that needs to be spoken aloud. The other part of me says, as a podcaster, I know perfectly well that what's written on the page lacks timing, lacks influence, lacks the cues that provide additional layers of meaning that vocal, spoken language does and can provide. So I've got these two dichotomies, I've got these conflicting ideas in my own head about whether or not words matter and whether or not the medium is significant, which takes us back to the ACX Audible argument that if you're giving it away for free on a podcast, you're not welcome on audible.com. You know, it's their tool. It's their toy box. If that's what they want to do, then that's fine. Just we need to know that, and I'm a little peeved that they would change their mind in midstream, as it were, and change that policy now that it looks like there are going to be a lot of people who wanted to try to sell their books on Audible and give them away on audiobooks. So some interesting thoughts, some interesting ideas banging around in my head today. These are ideas I think that we're going to see again come up in the Ishmael Wong trilogy that I'm pondering. Some of it may wind up in Tana Serport's book 3. Book 2 is coming together nicely. I did a little more work on it. I really like the beginning. It's clunky, but it needs a second pass. This is just first draft for the new first act. And I kind of like the way it's going. I kind of think it's, the storytelling is improved a bit. So very, very upbeat, very positive there. Oh. I'm trying to think, ACX, Audible, stuff I'm thinking about. There was a thought that I had when I was crossing the street back there that has since, I think, perhaps stayed at that intersection. I can't dredge it up. I am almost back. It's afternoon. It was afternoon when I started. The sun, I think, is pretty much due south at the moment. It's local noon. That is that point where the sun is due south, the highest point in the sky, which is not the same as the chronometric noon, which marks the point where the time zone as a whole takes on the hour of noon. 00 p.m., 1200. It's not as nice as it was yesterday, although also not as windy. I did wear my hood today, so there should be a lot less wind artifact. Stuff to think about with my class. Stodgy ideas. It's interesting that I classified this class as stodgy. The notion that one of the things that they're having trouble with is, as far as they're concerned, technology has a computer in it. And what I'm trying to get them to consider is that technology is a much broader canvas, that even things like spoken language have a technology aspect. They are, in fact, a technology. They are the first distance technology, which many of them will find quite foreign, if not reprehensible, in terms of ideas. However, it's nevertheless true. Oh well, have to save that for tomorrow because I'm at the back gate. And tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.